This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tumotu, MPR.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today I have with me...
Eileen Kurd.
Okay, and I'm Stuart Burks. Now, Eileen, you are... we found out last time you've just turned 90, but you had an interesting upbringing in Britain, actually through the war, and then you came out in the early 1950s. But I hear that before you came out, you had a short career as a dancer?
Yes, yeah, chorus girl.
A chorus girl? Yeah. In what? In a stage production?
Yeah,
or a film?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Who with?
Elsie and Doris Walters, and this is for older listeners that can remember.
Mm-hmm.
And we toured.
You said something about, was it Richard Attenborough?
Oh, that was before I left England. I did that film work. That was it.
Oh, you did film work?
Yeah, in England.
Ah. Yeah. Oh, okay. So and you did film work in England?
Yeah, it was an extra. And then I took a day off work. My mother rang up and said I was sick.
Mm.
The day I did the film work, it was stinking hot and I got sunburned. And I went back to work.
Oh, you're supposed to be sick and you were all sunburned. Yeah, that would
I don't know how, I got out of that one.
So you were an extra in that. So when did you do the stage things? Was that in England as well?
Yeah, it was all in England.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So yes. So what, you did dancing lessons and through
that?
Yeah,
my mother sent me to dancing, singing and music.
Oh, okay.
The three things.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, being an only child, she did.
Just put all those things in. And yeah. What, when you say dancing, what was that, ballet dancing?
Ballet, tap dance.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, so because I suppose tap was quite popular then, was it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like tap dancing. Yeah. I didn't like the ballet part. I didn't like getting up on the toes. I hated that. It was not... To me, it was painful. Yeah. You had to stuff the shoes with cotton wool at the end.
Yes, that's like right. That. Oh, you didn't have... It's not wooden things at the end for the...
No, it's just
cotton
wool. I found them very
uncomfortable. So was it so hard your toes were bleeding at the end?
No, didn't. But very, very uncomfortable because there was a scene that we had to go on. Scene in the tour, stage show.
Oh, okay.
We had to use the... Go on points.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Didn't like that.
No, I can understand that. So then, let's see, you came out to New Zealand, and after a while, you moved into this Palmerston North sort of area, yeah?
Eventually, yes, after being in Wellington,
okay.
Hawera, and then Palmerston North.
So you were Wellington, then Hawera, then you came to Palmerston North.
Yeah.
And so what were you doing as you moved around? Was this... You were offered a job and you came here, or your husband got a job?
Yeah, I worked for the health department in Wellington.
Okay.
And I was lodging in Pipitea Street.
Oh, okay.
And the landlady cooked me lamb chops for breakfast.
Oh.
And I put on so much weight.
Uh-huh.
My friend was making my wedding dress. She had to alter it every week.
Uh-huh. Okay, so the first job, was that the 2 years where you were, as a £10 pom, you were allocated to a job?
Yeah.
So what were you doing in the health department?
I was in the statistics department.
Yeah.
With four other men, and I was the only woman then. Yeah.
Yeah. Which meant what? You were used as a statistician or clerical
work? I had to keep a record of all the plumbers that came to New Zealand, the plumbing department.
Oh,
I worked with a Mr. Matthew, who was beside me, an older man.
Yeah.
And there was a Mr. Sutton.
Mm-hmm.
And a Mr. Kameski, I can remember them.
Okay, And your job was to record all the plumbers.
I had to fill out these stats, and I used to get quite concerned because the plumbers that came out were well experienced. They couldn't get jobs. They had to have New Zealand qualifications.
Ah, that's why you had to record them
because I had to
qualify to be approved.
And I did relief telephonist as well.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's where I met my friend that made the wedding dress.
Oh,
and we're still friends.
Yeah.
They're 90-something.
Yeah.
They've been and we're still friends. We catch up once a year.
This is almost 70 years later, years later.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's lovely to have friends like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
So did you have many friends from the boat coming out then?
I was friendly with a girl that was in the other 10-pound pom because we had the same berth.
Yeah.
And then I had a chap on the boat that I'd met, but nothing came of that. But it was just one of those shipboard things.
Yeah.
As you do. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know, but the lady that was in our cabin, it was a three-berth cabin, she was all really, really, very nice. And she used to dress in a white nightdress and negligee and disappear. And I found out she was having a little, how's your auntie with one of the stewards.
Hi. Yeah.
And when we landed in Wellington, she stood there and she saw her husband waiting and she started to cry. She must have felt guilty.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Well, I thought, would that be quite common, do you think? Was a lot happening on the boat?
I think that my take on it is that when you're at sea for that time, you lose all your inhibitions.
Oh, okay.
That's the feeling that I got. You didn't care. You was in another sphere.
Oh, okay.
It's strange.
Oh, so these days air travel's done a lot for marital stability.
I can remember meeting a guy from Paratour who was a businessman. And it was the dance thing there. And I actually went with my daughter and her friend, because my daughter worked for Qantas at the time, the eldest daughter. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, she said, "Mum, are you coming to bed?" So, and this guy said, "Is that your daughter?" And I said, "Yes, it is."
Oh, so how old was she then?
She'd be in her probably 20,
apparently. Oh, 20. She was grown up.
Yeah, grown up. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, because she worked for Qantas.
Yeah. Oh, of course, yeah.
Yes, yeah. So she hauled me off to bed.
Yes.
He felt a bit disappointed, I might say. He'd already propositioned me.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. And
had he spent a lot?
No, I just met him during when you go and have your afternoon teas and got chatting. He was in the chair beside me and we started chatting, and he must have taken a shine to me.
Mm-hmm.
But the looks of it.
Yep. Oh, well. So, anyway, I could ask you, are there any other stories like this?
No, I'd probably be surprised. I think I heard that shenanigans went on all the time on boats. As I say, you do lose your... If you're on your own, if you're with your husband, I suppose you've got to behave yourself, but...
Well, I was at university at the time when supposedly it was very liberal, the pill had just come in and so on. And I remember a friend of mine there, she was saying, well, back home, and she was from Cornwall, and she said, you know, these old women there were saying, you might think you get up to lots of stuff, but we did just the same. Well, we just didn't talk about it.
Of course they did. Of course they did. My husband said, I always remember my husband telling me that they had a piano in the room where his mother lived. And no one played the piano, but underneath, they lifted the lid, and underneath was all this paperwork and stuff that they stored.
Oh, yeah.
And they found out that his mother was pregnant before she married the father.
Ah, okay.
And guess what I found out? Ditto.
Yeah.
The same thing.
The same for you.
Where my mother was talking to someone, we were out somewhere in a park or something, and she thought I was asleep.
Yeah.
I can't exactly. And she was saying the same thing. Exactly say what she said on air, but and I found out.
I think that was very kind. In fact, I think one way, if a girl decided she wanted to marry someone, was to accidentally get pregnant.
Yeah.
And there's a Welsh sort of singer comedian called Max Boyce, and I got one of his. He had a record of some of his stage shows, and there was one joke on there about, you know, this girl who got married and not even pregnant. There's posh for you.
Yeah, yeah.
I suppose quite a common.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You go back to the Victorian days and look what they got up to. Mm. You've only got to look at some of the programmes on TV.
Yeah.
And what they did.
Well, I suppose the question there is how much is it how people want us to think about those times as opposed to what it was like. But there were things going on.
All the kings had mistresses, didn't they? Let's face it, it was common knowledge.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we could even go into
what might be happening now. Yeah.
But we won't do that.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, you could tell us now. You moved to Palmerston North. So what shenanigans were going on in Palmerston North? Was that a very staid place? You came about 1960?
Yeah, we built the house in 1960.
Okay. So was this very staid compared to all your...
Oh, very quiet. I mean, there wasn't the traffic, and it was totally different to what it is now. Mm-hmm. Very, very quiet.
Yeah.
But now, there's traffic.
It's a lot busier, the population's much bigger now.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's about 80,000, isn't there, in Palmerston North,
probably
something
more
like
than that now, yeah.
It probably is. It was...
So quite quiet. There'd still be a lot of market garden things in...
There was just a couple of shops up the road. There's, you know, there's more there now, but at the time there wasn't a lot of shops that we've got now in that suburb.
Well, but also, in they say Palmerston North was built on several lagoons, but you were here when they were actually lagoons. Yeah. With what we've got one lagoon now, but there were several more that have since been filled in.
Yes, that's correct.
So what was what's your recollection of these lagoons? You lived very close to one?
It was part of our section.
Uh-huh, okay.
We had a big section, it was part of it.
Yeah.
And it was there for quite a few years.
So they said, this is your land, although it's sort of six foot deep in water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, more
with
than
a
that.
With a fish in there?
No.
No, nothing.
But as I said, the Richardson's drilling went down 26 feet.
So the drilling went down to find solid ground for the foundation?
26 feet.
Wow, to build the house.
Yeah, and the house they built on is very good in earthquakes. It's on Australian telegraph poles.
Yeah.
And it just very gently
sways a little bit.
It's very good. And the one across the road where the other lagoon was, it's on a T-bar.
A straight pole and then across, giving you a base.
That's still there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, that's another point. You wouldn't be used to earthquakes coming out from England.
Oh, I hated it. My husband said the first one he saw when he worked for de Havilland's in Wellington, he couldn't believe it. He said they looked out and the whole field was just a ripple.
Yeah.
And he never encountered an earthquake. And I always say now, I'd rather have a bomb than an earthquake.
Yeah?
Because I find
because you know, once it's gone off, it's gone off.
I hate earthquakes.
Hmm. So what was your recollection of the first earthquake that you felt? Was it a big one? Or?
I can't remember. It's so long ago. Yeah. I mean, that now... Yeah. I do that earthquake thing every year. I get under the table.
A drill you do?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, because it comes on the computer. I get asked every year, do I want to do it?
Oh.
And it's very interesting. And I've done it every year. In the kitchen at a certain date and a certain time.
So what's it? You mean that they tell you there will be an earthquake in two
days'
time?
No. It's just a drill that's held every year, every October.
Oh, and
every year I've done it, but this year I've decided that's the last year because down on the under the table,
it was too much effort,
and getting up was too much.
So how did you? Is this sort of certain people just
volunteer
for it?
It came on my computer. You're
sure it's not a hoax? There might be someone in America saying, "Let's have fun with those people in New Zealand. We'll see how many get under the table."
Every year, I've done it for a few years now since they started it.
Yeah.
I thought, I'll participate, and they like workforce to get into it, and not just me.
So you just registered on a web page or something, then you get this.
Yeah.
So what's the notification like? Your computer starts buzzing or an alarm?
No, they just send you this email to say, you know, do you want to sign up? And I said yes. And then they send you the email with the date, the time that you drop everything and get down. It's just like a drill.
So it's for a practice
it's
for
a
you.
Drill. It's a drill. And so
it's not very realistic if they tell you when the earthquake's
coming. No, they don't tell you that. No, they're not that clever.
Yeah. Oh, so you mean when the email just comes in and you post that, now it's happened.
They let me know probably a week before.
Oh, expect one in the next, sometime
drill.
In the next
week. About the middle of October.
Oh,
end of October, yeah.
So does that mean you have all sorts of water and batteries set up?
No, just not at the time, no. I've actually got a kit in the garage, honestly. Look at it. I don't know where it is. One of these kits that you can push with the stuff in it. I've got cat food that'll have to go out in packets. Weet-Bix, that's got to go.
Yeah, all these guys are trouble with these. You've got to have them, but then if they expire, then
I thought to myself, how can I get out with one of those things to push, a dog, and at the time I had a cat. I can't get out with the dog on a lead and in the middle of another creek. I was panicky. He's scared stiff of earthquakes.
Does he sense them before they happen? This is your dog.
I don't know. My husband used to. He used to say, he'd tell when there's an earthquake coming. He said, because suddenly it goes very, very still and there's no bird life.
I have heard
some animals can.
They might hear things because their hearing range might be different.
His hearing is fantastic. Yeah. I wish I had his hearing. It's fantastic. He can hear people walking across the College Street and he'll bark. That's the Jack Russell Park. Border Collie Park's the quieter part, the gentle part. But the Jack Russell, he's on duty all the time. And at 11 at night, there used to be someone come out and he would go bonkers barking. My daughter used to say to me, wouldn't like you living there if you didn't have the dog. You know, because he's a real good watchdog. And he protects me.
That's good. And you've had him for a long time, or you've always had dogs?
My husband. And I was brought up that my mother didn't like dogs. And I brought up with cats. And I love cats. But my husband was brought up with dogs.
Yeah.
And of course, we got a puppy years and years ago. He was a lovely little dog. And of course, as soon as we got the dog, I was just loved dogs. And we've had about five, I think.
All right, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good, because some people, they have a dog, they get so attached to the dog that when it's gone, they think,
my take on that is, if you've had a dog, you really should. We've always had rescue dogs. We don't get
called
designer dogs from the SPCA. I don't have designer dog.
You mean that they're mongrels, or
they've
been through a stressful time?
We've always gone to the SPCA instead of getting one of these fancy ones. I call them designer dogs. Not a pedigree. It's my take. And that's where we've had our cats from there as well. Going back to what you said about people have a dog and they won't get another one. Other people say they don't want to go through the grieving part again. But I say, if you've got enough love for a dog, you should give that love to a dog that needs a home.
Yeah.
That's how I think about it. I know the grieving part's hard because it's just, to me, it's no different to losing a parent. That's how the grief is exactly the same. There's no comparison. You grieve the same.
Okay. Because that's why it becomes part of the family.
Oh, definitely. And they've always been inside dogs, not... Yeah.
So do you have theory? There's all these things about dog psychology and who's the leader of the pack and so on. You've got any views on that?
Isla always reckons that the dog's the boss in the house. She always says that. You're supposed to
be... In your house, you mean?
Her house, but she's always said that about the dogs. They do.
So what about for you? Because they're pack animals, they're more comfortable if someone else is the boss rather than them.
I don't know. He's very attached. He follows me everywhere in the house. He'll get stressed if I'm out in the garden and he's left in the kitchen too long. He'll get a bit stressed.
I suppose, given that you're retired, that you're together all the time, he doesn't have periods.
That's right. Only when I go out, I have to put him... We've got a big double garage.
Yeah.
And we've got two beds in there, and I put the radio on, give him a treat, and I have to go shopping, and I go to an exercise class once a week. I used to go to Tai Chi, but I've given that up.
They were actually talking on that same thing they were talking about on the radio just this morning. Because of lockdown and so many people, especially in Auckland, the people being at home with the pets all the time, say you've got a puppy, and then through lockdown, that puppy's only been in the situation where there's always people around. And so the adjustment can be quite difficult.
I'm lucky
if
with
they're
him
off at work.
Because he goes to anybody. Mm. He's a really sociable dog, and he really does. He just makes himself at home.
Yeah,
wherever he is and who he's with, which is good.
Yeah, as long as you're there, or even if you're.
Well,
you
I left him with one of my dog walking friends for supposedly for overnight. Because when I had my big birthday, we all went out. Ten of us went to Aberdeen for dinner.
Yep.
And I didn't want to leave him in the garage on his own because we didn't come home till late.
Yeah,
and when we were coming home, my granddaughter's partner said, we can go and get Benji if you like. So we went round to my friend's house and brought him back. Because I happened to say, well, it would be strange without Benji in the house.
Yeah.
So we went and picked him up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But she would have kindly offered to, to look after him, which was nice. Because she's got a dog and he gets on all right with her dog. And she's got fence gardens.
Okay, now can we go, because we just touched briefly on the issue of lagoons, and you had one in your back gardens, but were they quite big, the lagoons?
Oh, it was. I mean, the section is a 80 in going back into the old measurements, it was 80 feet wide.
Yeah,
it was about 154 something long. It was quite it was really big. It was just under a quarter of an acre.
Okay.
So the house got built.
So you had nearly a quarter of an acre section. Some was up and some was down, actually underwater in the lagoon.
Yeah, because we're on a slope. Being on a corner,
we're
on a slope.
Okay. So that meant that there was a whole row of houses, and for them, sort of half the back garden was lagoon.
Our house, the house next door, I think, and two doors away, they had a bit of. Not a big lagoon, not ours, but I vaguely remember.
Oh, so it wasn't one large lagoon?
Mine was, ours was, and the one across the road was. It was a big.
Oh, so almost like a big pond in the back garden.
Oh, hell, big pond, it was big.
I mean, I'm thinking the lagoon that we have
by Hokafiti. It's not like the lagoon in Hokafiti, you know.
Okay.
No, but it was big.
Yes, okay.
It was big.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it was an 80-foot width.
Yes,
I mean, that's how big it was.
Yeah, so it's... it's about the size of a swimming pool, really, isn't it?
Oh, bigger than that. Well, it was big. It was big.
Yeah. Okay. So, did you do anything? Did you have a boat that you could play around
with?
Or you children play? Well, you had young children then?
Yeah, but we managed to...
You just kept them away from it? Or they learnt to swim and swam in it?
No, they didn't go in it. No.
Okay.
No, they weren't allowed to.
No, okay. So you were quite pleased when it was filled in? And
Oh, yes, because we never would have been able to
afforded
it to do it.
Okay, yeah.
With the fill that went in there. Yeah.
You didn't think it was dangerous then, or you just taught the kids don't go anywhere near
that? Yeah, we actually got the fill when they lowered College Street. The council
lowered
College Street in 19-whatever.
Lowered it?
They lowered it.
They took it out of there to fill in
the council said they're lowering College Street. Would you like us to fill?
Ah, okay. Did it go up a bit somewhere then, or they just leveling?
They must have done, but they were lowering College Street.
Okay. So what about the houses that were already?
Well, there was nothing next door to it.
Oh,
nothing next door because it was a lagoon, and there was nothing across the road. Because it was a lagoon and there was houses alongside that.
So there was just almost an open area.
When you come around the corner.
This where it bends round just after the shop's heading?
You come from College Street and turn left and then it goes down the slope.
Ah, yes.
Lagoon one side, lagoon on the section that we bought.
Oh, okay. So this, which roads were they then? This,
which one?
Which roads were they? Was there a road?
Kent Crescent. Kent,
oh, Kent Crescent. And Kent is Crescent. It York and Place, is it?
No, York Place is further up.
That's further. Okay.
Yeah. No, okay. It's College Street end.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, right. So, so was much of this part of Palmerston North developed at that time?
No, ours was the first house to be built there. All that land was vacant.
Oh, right. Where okay. We,
yeah, and ours was the first house. We actually bought the section. The first section we bought, my husband found out it was in Milson by the railway lines, and he didn't want it.
Yeah.
So we bought the section next door to where we are now, and then they found out that that had already been sold.
Oh,
so then we bought the one we've got.
Oh, okay. So you came here in the early 1960s, bought a section, built a house, and you're still living in the same house now.
Believe it or not.
60s. Well, I'm sure it's got lots of memories.
Oh, it's lovely. It's sunny. It's all day sun.
And you planted the garden and it's all well established. So,
yes, lovely
that's
garden.
That's the big thing.
It's a lovely garden. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.